Welcome to No Fear CDI, the podcast that helps clinical documentation specialists overcome the fear of physician conversations and take their CDI game to the next level. Let's get started.
Welcome, everybody, to our first podcast of No Fear CDI. We are going to talk about how CDI specialists can overcome their fears and become an even more supportive, it can become supportive of the physicians they need to talk to. So they won't be looked at as if they are a pest.
That's right.
A mosquito buzzing around in the room. So
we got plenty of those around here.
And what we're talking about today is we want to talk about how software is not going to be the answer to what CDI specialists are doing or supposed to do, or in fixing documentation. Because there's some articles, and I can reference the article. Anybody who wants to see it, they can just email us, and we'll send them the article. But basically, it's an article that's saying that documentation issues play a role in 10 to 20% of medical malpractice lawsuits. Now, that's got to get physicians' attentions. Because, the way it happens is because there's incomplete documentation, inaccurate documentation, transcription errors, judgmental language, alteration of documentation. 75% of the emergency physicians you will talk to, you'll find out they've been named in a malpractice lawsuit at least once in their careers. Why does that happen? Because of documentation. And it includes, mostly it revolves around three things that have to do with documentation. Missing documentation, that's 70% of the cases. 70%, people. Inaccurate content in the documentation, that's 22%. And poor mechanics, that's 18%. Now, I don't even know what poor mechanics is, but we can even ignore that and just talk about missing documentation and inaccurate documentation. You know what malpractice lawyers look at in order to decide whether they're going to pursue litigation? Inaccurate, incomplete, or just, missing documentation. And despite all of this, we've still got people that we run into on a constant basis who are trying to make software as a solution for these documentation issues. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So I've got Glenn Kraus here, as well as Dr. Catherine. Catherine, I never have figured out how to pronounce your last name.
No problem. Pezik is my maiden name and middle name, and Bird. So Pezik, okay. Bird. Catherine is fine. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. So they're here to talk about that today. So I'm going to let you guys loose. How is this, what is your opinions about, how software is not the answer, and what we've got to be doing is coming up with better education and training and feedback on physician documentation. What do you guys think?
Glenn, Dr. Bird, why don't you start? Because once I get rolling, you won't have any time to jump in.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, Catherine.
Oh, I appreciate that. I don't have any ill will against somebody trying to make a living and trying to make things better. However, I have difficulty from a compliance standpoint with somebody just going through a chart and trying to find something that they think is abnormal, especially the labs.
Right.
They'll say the potassium or the sodium. Oh, they have hyponatremia. Sodium was 130. We don't treat just numbers. We treat patients.
That's right.
And the number and the situation has to be there. And then we have to show that we're actually treating it. Pretty much every patient that comes in gets at least a HEPLOC. And certainly with the more recent issues we had after Hurricane Milton, it was difficult to be able to give certain fluids.
That's right.
But Just because we're giving them, let's say, normal saline at a KVO rate, a keep vein open rate, or some low rate, it's not necessarily treating hyponatremia. It's more of just having access because the patient is in the hospital. And what if something happened and you didn't have that access and you had to waste precious time when maybe their blood pressure is crashing? So I really find it upsetting. And maybe upsetting isn't the right word, but I find it
No.
presumptuous that they think that a lab value is a diagnosis. And that's what I'm having issue with some of these companies that are touting their software that they're going to. I think they tout it to the revenue cycle
That's right.
people, and it sounds like we're leaving money on the table. And nobody wants to do that, of course. You don't want to feel that you've missed something. But I also really don't want to be creating a situation that wasn't there. And so I'm concerned about that.
Yeah, and it sounds to me like those kind of things, they're probably going to be claiming, the payers are probably going to be claiming, well, there's missing documentation. Because there was that in the labs and nobody said anything about it.
Right. Here's the thing to kind of reinforce Dr. Bird. Okay. My whole contention with CDI, and people say on LinkedIn, I got a lot of hate mail recently. Why am I so down and out on CDI? I'm not down and out on CDI, Ernie and Dr. Bird. I'm just calling it like it is. We're not working with physicians to improve documentation. You don't recall what's his name? Wait a minute, I just was thinking about it. William Osler, okay, by father of
Oh,
modern
yeah.
medicine, right? Okay. You don't know him personally, obviously, and I don't either. But I and
Right.
he said one thing that resonates, two things, or one main thing that resonates with me, okay?
Yeah.
Observe, doctor is supposed to observe, record, tabulate, communicate. Oh, and the second thing is even more important. I like this one. A good physician treats a disease. A great physician treats the patient with the disease.
Exactly.
Right? And so
Exactly.
we're looking for clinical cues. Then we ask the doctor, pretty please, to answer this query, I'll shine your shoes and give you a strawberry milkshake. Okay? Or you have a physician advisor who's a physician query strong arm. You don't answer the query, you got a visit by Mr. Physician Query Strong Arm. Okay, but we're not taking the time to look at the context, and that's why we get a lot of clinical validation denials. And I see many in instances where there's a strong risk of malpractice. And I just posted something on LinkedIn from the from one of the malpractice firms that states that there's a whole litany of documentation at least that solidifies malpractice cases, and the common theme is poor documentation.
Yes. Well, and I think that's another issue, gentlemen. So here's what I'm seeing that is concerning to me. I am seeing times where we are thinking about a diagnosis
Right.
and we're using some sort of template or electronic health record of some sort. Cerner and Epic are the two biggies, but it's really an endemic problem. I have nothing against the whatever the company is, but it's the end user. And it goes back to what you just so beautifully quoted about Sir William Osler. We are treating the patient. In the ED, we should give it our best go, right? The physician there, limited time. They're really focused most on, do I
Throughput.
need to keep this patient? Treat them or street them, so to
That's
speak,
right. That's right.
And so once they have whatever they need to make the story, it's pretty much It could be even a rule out. It might be chest pain, rule out MI,
MMI. That's right.
whatever it is. But I think the focus that is sometimes lost, especially now in this world of hospitalists, where somebody is taking care of the patient during their week on and wherever the patient is in their recovery and getting ready to move to the next level of care, they may have another physician take over in midstream.
That's right.
But there has to be, the onus has to be on that attending, whether hospitalist, surgeon, whatever area of medicine, that chart should be the patient's story. And that discharge summary should be an executive summary. That should be what the outpatient physician is looking at to understand what happened. Nobody has time to read through the whole chart, but that discharge summary should say, you know, they came in with this. We were worried about that. We did this. We learned this. We changed this. Now they're all set to go to that place, and they're going to see you in whatever appropriate time period we can get them in with you.
That's right. That's right.
But
Yeah,
what I'm
all that has to be
seeing,
written down.
yeah,
Yeah.
wait, what are you
Yes.
seeing, Dr. Burden?
What I'm seeing is diagnoses that are put on and put into the electronic health record in some way to be monitored for this visit that aren't accurate, especially in heart failure. I had one just the other day where I was seeing something where it was a type of heart failure that the patient did not have. But the ER physician somehow, because you can go back and, you know, do an audit, a chart audit, who put this in when? And I really want to empower our attending physicians, whoever they are, whatever their specialty or subspecialty, I want them to be able to say, no, we may have thought that, but add something. There should always be words. That's sort of the clue. And I'm sure malpractice attorneys look at this too.
Oh,
You know,
absolutely.
yes, you've got like three diagnoses that are just sort of always there every day, copy, paste, clone,
That's
and
right.
there's no verbiage. There's no action. It's just a title, a label. You know, if they truly have this, tell us what you're doing about it. Or tell us that was ruled out. Or if it's not right, just take it out. It's just not needed. It just confuses the story.
And I think to a certain extent, physicians will, they just want to get rid of the query. Whatever's listed is the first, they check it off, they move to the next one.
Absolutely.
My brother's a cardiologist. He's guilty of this. He gets 20 queries. A couple weeks ago, I called him because they're like 4 hours ahead of behind me. So I call him up. He's still in the hospital. What's he doing? He's doing his discharge summaries. He says, I got 20 queries. I need to get rid of them. He was done in 5 minutes. I said, how did you do that in 5 minutes? He says, well, I just checked off some unable to determine, and the others I checked off the first one because I know what they want, so I got a 50-50. I looked like I went through them, but I didn't go through them. How
I
many
understand.
physicians do you think do that?
I'm sure many more than we perhaps know, but you know, and I understand the time constraint. But again, we've got to do the right thing for the
That's
patient.
right.
I applaud him for taking time to do the discharge summary, because that to me is really the focus. That tells the chapter that closed with the end of that hospitalization and gives a clue to the next chapter.
And I've seen his discharge summaries without HIPAA information in it, and he's very thorough. Okay, he follow up. He meets the Joint Commission 6 requirements, but I think queries do get on. If I had 12-hour days in the clinic, and again, now I got to run to the hospital to do my notes as a cardiologist, you know, the thing that that something's got to give, and it's going to be the documentation of queries. The physicians know they need to do a good discharge summary. The query is just an added burden, you know.
Yes. Well, I've worked in places where the idea of the query was only send two out, maybe three at most, on one patient. Ask your biggest question. You know, what do you need to know that's going to have the most lift, the
Right.
most impact. And it's important if somebody sees a conflict, we need to have this answered for the patient. Send them out, send those two, maybe three at most,
That's right.
out between certain hours. Not in the morning when they haven't even seen the people yet,
That's
not at
right.
noon when they're trying to go to a conference and grab some food, but
That's right.
later in the afternoon when the day is sort of settling down and they can be more reflective and more receptive to
That's
something
right.
like that. I think that is the best way. And do not send another query on that same patient until you get the response back. That way it looks like you're listening. I think we talked about this the other day. In another a meeting, but we lost a lot with COVID. And one of the things that we lost was having our CDI teams and our UM teams in-house, developing relationships with these physicians. That is very critical.
Oh
But
yeah, I made the same comment. You
yes, I
can't develop
remember.
relationships and work and trust and respect unless you're in front of the doctor.
Exactly. And I think also, and we were just talking about this, the Florida chapter of ACTIS had
Oh
a
yeah.
conference that I was honored to have the opportunity to speak at
Oh
last this
great,
weekend.
great, great, great.
Thank you. And one of the things that we were talking about was how sometimes it is challenging. And I know as a cardiologist, there's a sort of perception and surgeons, very busy, not a lot of time, and maybe a little bit impatient. It's hard for the CDI or coder, for the CDS coder, to go to the physician and ask a question because they're not feeling as empowered. It's sort of like the nurse asking, they could ask a question about the orders, but they're probably not asking about the diagnosis. There's this idea that you don't maybe want to challenge the physician. I don't think it's challenging the
No.
physician, but I understand how difficult it is. And that's part of why I love being a physician advisor. And I think that every hospital should have an on-site physician advisor, someone who gets to know those physicians, who is trusted, becomes an ally. The other day, I found out about something that was misfiring. It was an alert, but it was firing outside of the parameters it should have been. And they came up to me because I'm a friendly face that they know, and I was able to refer it to the right area. Not really part of CDI or UM, but I was there as someone to try to help them. They see me as someone who's trying to help. And so I think it works best when we're doing our mortality reviews or our PSI HAQ reviews. We come up with a situation, we think that there's a conflict, but before we send the question out, we talk to the physician, not telling them anything that's not compliant, not saying, hey, you're going to get a query, answer it this way, not at all. But just saying, there's this patient safety indicator. And this is what it's about. Used to be about sponges that were left in accidentally. Now it's moved to this. And there's a patient that there's a question about. Let me tell you what the inclusion and exclusions are. Let me tell you the patient's number. You can look it up and review it on your own. If you have any further questions, I would ask the CDI. Once you get the query, there'll be a name attached to it. Ask them before you answer it. And if you have any more questions of me, I'm happy to help. I think that little interaction really not only builds more credibility, but it helps everybody because as a physician, I can say that to another physician, and they know I'm not challenging them on their management. I'm just trying to be that bridge between the CDI and coding world that is not always equal to the clinical world. And I really love doing that. And I hope that other hospitals take on that model because I think it's a very successful model. If a hospital can afford it, I know smaller hospitals, the margins are thin, but find somebody that likes to do that and empower them to be that interpreter, that Rosetta Stone, so to speak.
You've really
I
given
like
it.
that
approach. That's really good, Dr. Bird.
Yeah,
Thank
and
you.
I think what we want to do is on our next podcast, Glenn and Catherine, let's put together an outline of what something like that would be like. Exactly what you're doing, Catherine, and we'll lay that out. for somebody to be able to think about, here's the kind of thing you want in it. We may not know exactly how you want to do it for your facility, but again, just like the webinars Glenn and I do a lot, it's, we can describe what a solution for this would look like, what it would need to do, and then you can run with it from there. So let's do that next time.
Sounds great.
Well,
Thank
that
you,
sounds
gentlemen.
great. Yeah,
All right.
thank you for your time. We'll be in touch. Thank you, Ernie.
Okay. Thank you all, and we'll see you on the next No Fair CDI.